What, do you know my name?
It's on the marriage certificate.
I've never seen you before in all my life.
Hold on to your airbag.
You heartless, heartless monsters. All of you, through and through.
You're riding down the Harland Highway.
Oh, yeah!
When you see a fallen star, that means a witch has just died.
You clumsy idiot.
The Harland Highway.
All I want is to hear people say something again and to see people moving again.
I'm Floyd Burney, a rockabilly boy. Don't you understand?
You're listening to Harland Williams.
I can't be your daughter. I'm a machine.
Man, you've been dead 1,000 years.
By George, I think he's got it.
You're riding down the Harland Highway with Harland Williams.
What's up, Doc?
Mister, if you're gonna lose, you're gonna lose right now.
Don't leave me here!
Hey, everybody, this is Harland Williams. You're rolling down the Harland Highway, and what a treat. What a tasty teriyaki treat we have today. I have a guest in the studio today. I don't normally have guests, but this is a buddy of mine. He's a hilarious stand-up comic. He's a dad. He's a children's book author. He's an actor. He's an improviser. He's a welder. And he has a haunted house. And we're going to talk about all of that. Aaron Kleiber is here. Give him a hand. How are you, kid?
Hey, pal. Haunted house.
Yeah. You have a haunted house. You bought a 100-year-old house. It's instantly haunted whether you like it or not. Don't give me any slip.
No, any house that was built in 1905 absolutely has apparitions in it.
Wait, yours was 1905? So it's over 100.
Yeah.
How old is it? You don't even know it's so old.
100.
Is it BC? Is your house BC?
Yes. It was
before Christ?
It was before Jesus lived.
God, that is old.
Yeah. The Last Supper was actually there, though.
No way.
It was there.
He had dinner in your house.
You guys didn't know that the Last Supper was in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania?
You do have a great dining room.
It is a nice dining
room. That Home Depot chandelier. I mean, I could see Jesus all lit up under that.
Yeah, it's 113 years old, right?
Did they have Panini Brothers at the Last Supper or what?
Permantis?
Yeah. That's like a famous Pittsburgh sandwich.
I almost guarantee that you could buy a shirt where Jesus and the disciples are eating Permanis sandwiches.
Oh, yeah.
From Pittsburgh.
And Permanis trick, it's so funny. They have a little trick. What they do is they put everything in the sandwich. So you get your coleslaw, your fries, your cup of Coke, your plate. Everything's
pumpkin
in the sandwich.
Pie.
Everything. They just stuff anything they can get into a bun. It's almost like, as you call it, like a hurricane sandwich.
Because they just
stuff it full of crap.
Yeah, apparently it was because of steel workers had to eat quickly.
Yeah.
So they wanted coleslaw and fries.
Oh, that's the reason?
Apparently.
And, oh, wow.
And they could put them all on one sandwich and carry it with them or make it for later and all the fixins that were, you know.
Oh, the fixins.
Yeah.
Who doesn't love the fixins?
The fixins. That's your next band.
That's the name of my first daughter.
The
fixins. She's a U2 movement waiting to be born. The fixins.
She only performs behind chicken fence. The fixins.
The fixins. So it is haunted, right? Like, have you seen ghosts in there?
I have not.
But you know, you felt them. There's got to be something there, bro. Behind a wall or under a...
I have not felt real ghosts there, and
wow.
That's a relief.
Yeah, I guess so.
I have experienced some things before.
What?
Like in houses?
Yeah. What?
Well, I'm not going to... What? You want me to tell you?
Yeah, I
want
to know.
I'll tell you my ghost experiences.
Yeah.
I'm serious. These are for real.
Let's hear them.
Okay.
Give me the best one.
I told these stories on my podcast, Grown Dad Business, and which Harlan's been on many times.
Yeah.
When I was 13, I saw a guy standing upstairs in my aunt's bedroom. That's real.
Was it your uncle?
No.
Okay. Who
it
was
not. It? I don't. It was some guy.
Night or day?
Okay. So it was the middle of the afternoon. My aunt, she owns a house out in the country, and it's really old. And the foundation of her house was built in the 1860s.
Yeah.
They've discovered things that it was a stop on the Underground Railroad. Like, it's amazing.
Huh.
So it's a very old house. A lot of activity.
Yeah.
And I was like 13. I would go up there during the summer times.
Yeah.
And I'm peeing at the toilet. I'm standing at the toilet.
Yeah.
And you can see through the bedroom while standing in front of the toilet, and I saw a man kind of just kind of walk out of another room upstairs.
Come on.
I can see it plain as day.
A visage of a man, not a real physical man.
Yeah, it was, this sounds so silly describing it, but I'm not kidding. Like it, yeah. It was almost almost like how you would take a picture of somebody and put like a filter on it. And it it was not like
it was fuzzy.
You could tell it wasn't supposed to be there.
Yeah.
I don't know how to describe it. And I don't remember seeing feet. It kind of was faded away.
So it was in your aunt's bedroom?
Yeah.
And was the ghost doing up its pants?
No.
Okay, I'm just checking.
The guy had a flannel shirt on and overalls, and he had a tight gray beard.
So he was gray Amish. Hair.
Yes.
Wow.
Most likely Amish / lumberjack.
Jebediah, like, what did you do? Did you call out to it? Did you stop peeing? You know, sometimes in the middle of a pee, you can shut it off. Like, guys can do that.
I do remember I peed on myself. Yeah, I kind of peed on myself a little bit.
So that means you would have had to have gotten an erection because your penis would have had to stood up and for you to pee on yourself. If you were standing, so you got turned on by a bearded ghost, bro.
No.
This is getting real sick.
No, I tried to run out and put it away.
Put what away?
You know, my thing.
Your meat?
My ghost meat.
Yeah, okay.
And I ran downstairs.
Well, it was still peeing.
Well, no, I stopped peeing, but I got a little, I got dribbles.
All over you.
All over me.
But you were pointing to your stomach.
Well, you know, like on my... Okay. Nordic region.
Okay.
On my Netherlands region?
Yeah, yeah. The
got
tundra.
A little pee.
You got the tundra
moist.
Yeah, the Nordic tundra moist.
And I go downstairs and I tell my aunt, I'm like, there's like a guy upstairs. Like, there's, like, who is that? And I was like, it's like a, like, I, who is that? Like,
I sure didn't
out.
Go more like, hey, kid, why'd you piss on yourself? Oh, I saw a bearded guy in your bedroom.
Yeah, I said I saw a guy upstairs and my aunt was like, oh, I know.
What?
Yeah, like she knew, and then she unloaded on how many ghosts she has seen, and like,
my did you uncle, ever go back
oh,
to
yeah.
that house?
Yeah, but I was horrified.
Like, why would you go back to a haunted house?
I never wanted to go upstairs. I never.
Did you ever pee there again?
Yeah, I have.
Ew.
And I tell you what, if I went up in that bathroom, I would close that bedroom door.
Why don't you just close the goddamn bathroom door like any other normal civilized person does? You know, you deserve it for peeing with the freaking door open.
And then, and then I experienced another thing just recently. I'm not kidding.
What?
I could not make this up.
I believe you. I believe the first one.
So this was last year, and my buddy was flipping an old house.
Okay.
You know.
How big was the spatula? That's got to be a pretty big spatula.
That's the question.
Okay.
But no, I was working on the first floor helping him do some stuff.
Yeah.
And I thought he was like standing behind me.
Whoa.
And I felt like a shadow, like I felt someone behind me.
Yeah.
And I turn around and nobody's there. And
uh-oh.
I'm like, what the heck? I was like, I even answered, like said like, hey, like I was about to say something
Donnie?
To him because I thought he was, yeah.
Yeah.
Donnie?
Yeah.
Father? Like I
yeah.
thought.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I started talking like he was right behind me. I'm like, what the? And then I start talking, and I'm like, hey, John. And he's like, on the third floor. And I'm like, what the hell? And then in the same house, like a week later,
yeah.
Harland. I couldn't make this up. I feel crazy about even saying
it. No, I love it. This is great.
I was on the third floor helping him paint.
Yeah.
He was at home with his kids for a little bit.
Yeah.
So I showed up early to start painting, helping my buddy paint.
Yeah.
And I'm painting the attic floor.
Oh, never a good idea.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so
don't even do anything in the attic.
I know.
Yeah.
If you see this house, you'd be like, leave now.
Yeah.
And
who paints an attic floor?
You might
have had this ghost coming, but
it was
keep
gross
going.
Wood. It's
yeah.
not worth
probably
sanding down.
Ghost wood. Yeah.
Ghost wood. Yeah.
Yeah.
And when you're painting the floor, like you can't have anything in the room. You know, it's empty. It's
empty.
A clean room. So I'm halfway done. And I turn around to dip my roller back in the tray.
Ooh.
And I'm not kidding. There is a...
The ghost of Dutch Boy?
I wish it was... No, I do not wish it was a little boy named Dutch Boy.
Okay, what was it?
This is so weird even...
Don't tell me there are paint footprints across the floor.
Hell no, I would have left.
Holy crap. Fest.
I look on the floor and it's a couple feet away from the paint tray, which by the way, there's nothing else in there but the paint tray and me.
Yeah.
A couple feet away from the paint tray on this white floor
Ooh.
Is a half-inch long cigarette ash.
Okay.
And I thought it was like fuzz from the rug in the hallway or something.
Yeah.
And I looked down and I'm like, holy shit. I'm like, that's a, you know, that's a cigarette ash. And I touch it and it's like, it's a cigarette ash. It smashes into a little black.
Wasn't like an old cocoon or something?
No, it was like a cigarette ash. And I'm like, where did it come from? I don't smoke. Like, where, like,
yeah.
And I hurried up and got my rag and like wiped it off. I was like freaked out. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, and I didn't even think about it even happening. I was just like, I hallucinated that.
Yeah.
Those are paint fumes. Those are my ghost stories.
I don't know if a cigarette ash constitutes a ghost.
That's a where does that come from?
Well, I guess if you're already dead, smoking's okay.
I just figured some lady. I just pictured some lady debutante. Like, you need to leave
you
my
sure
house
it wasn't
now.
Like, guama or whatever. What's bat chick called? Guava or guano?
Guano.
Maybe it was guano. Did you look up and see if there were bats overhead? Because that's a pasty type
no bats.
Excrement.
It was like a cigarette ash. I poked it with my finger and rubbed it on the floor, and it was a cigarette ash.
I don't know. That one's a bit ambiguous. If it was like, if you said it was an old piece of jewelry or, you know.
That's crazy.
Yeah, then I would have been like, ooh. But
that would be like a piece of jewelry materializing out of the air.
Ash could be anything up there. I mean, sometimes when ants burrow into old wood, they create kind of a fine, like a sawdusty type
of,
you know. So, I don't know. That one's iffy.
Okay.
But if you said you saw a cigarette floating in midair with smoke coming out of it,
I would have puked.
And a big mustache, you would have been, oh my God, it's the ghost of the Marlboro Man, you know?
Yeah, if you just did a floating mustache and a cigarette.
Oh, sweet.
I'd be like, Father?
I'd be like, Freddie Mercury? Yeah. God.
Could be the ghost of Freddie Mercury.
But I believe in that stuff. I believe in ghosts.
I think there's something to it. There's something.
I was working recently about a year ago in a house. I was helping to reno an old house. Mm-hmm. And I was there alone. And this is the worst type of thing. This is worst. I didn't see anything, but I was just working. Silent house, mm-hmm. No music playing. The place was gutted. I'm like pulling up old wood. I'm sweeping. I'm doing this or that. The worst thing you... Even worse than seeing a ghost, I heard a little girl giggling.
Oh, hell no.
A little girl giggling.
No.
Because that, like a ghost, you go, wait, what is that? You look at it, but when you hear a little girl giggling, and this was a remote house. This house was not in, no neighbors, no, like this was a house on an island. Okay?
Was this in Florida?
This was in Florida.
Oh,
and it was a house where in the past there had been hurricanes and there had been some deaths. And I heard a little girl giggling in a very quiet, big, empty house.
Oh, my God.
It was freaky, dude. I looked around and went, and I got out of there.
Yeah, because you're on an island. There's not a playground.
There's no one there. There's nothing around it. It's just one house on an island.
Now you're just dreaming about little kids dying in hurricanes? That's horrible.
I don't know what I was thinking, but I got the hell out of there. Speaking of kids and family, mm-hmm. You have a family. You have kids. Yeah. Like, dads are protective, right? You probably, once you have kids, you're thinking on a whole new level.
You think
I always,
of everything.
I always wondered what it was like in this crazy world that we live in. What is your go-to plan? Let's say you're on an airplane.
Okay.
And all of a sudden, Allah Akbar, some guy's like thinking I'm pulling a bomb out. What's the dad in you think and what's the plan? Do you sit there and just go, let's hope we land? Or are you like, let's roll? Like what's have you ever thought about your game plan?
That's
in
the
this
kind
event?
Of stuff you think of at night and have extreme terror anxiety. Like that would happen to you one day.
Yeah.
I mean like I. Obviously, I think that most people, you should say that you don't know.
Yeah.
Like, you don't know what you would do, right?
Yeah.
Do you, like, the serious answer?
Yeah.
Like, if I was on a plane with my kids?
No, not your kids, just you. Or your kids could be there, but it's just you. You're going home to the family, and you know that you're a dad. They rely on you. You don't want them to be without their father. And here's some nutbag that doesn't give a fuck, and he's about to take down the plane, and you're sitting back... You know, three rows from the bathroom, and you're like, do I just sit here and see what happens, or do I do what that guy did in 9/11 and say, let's roll?
I think everybody thinks of that stuff, but like...
But have you thought of it, or
Yeah, sure. I think we all think about
that. What's your answer?
I honestly would hope that I would do something.
Like
what? I don't know what.
You haven't mapped it out?
No, you'd have to... It's... I think, you know, saving an airplane from a terrorist is a case-by-case basis.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I've thought about it.
That's a deep question.
I know it is, but you're a dad. I've thought of a few different things.
Would you start painting their portrait and offer them as a gift?
Maybe. I would seduce them with my bumpy, hairy legs.
Excuse me. Can I paint a picture for you?
Hello there.
This is you in heaven.
No, this is one I thought of that may seem a little politically incorrect, but at this point in time, you're trying to survive, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And there was an old Edward Norton movie that I'll go back to. Yeah. You'll know what it is, but it was really cool. I would, without any insult to the mentally challenged.
Of course.
I would, we're both actors,
mm-hmm.
I would pretend that I was mentally challenged to the point for a strategic reason so that the bombers or the terrorists would see me as a non-threat. So I would do kind of like the typical kind of, looking like a severely mentally challenged person. And then kind of, you know, act naive, like I didn't know what they were doing. Just, I have to go to the bathroom now. And I, you know, I'm 6'2", 200 pounds. I would wobble up the aisle like, how good to go to the bathroom? You know, like I would put it on. And they would just be like, let the kid go to the bathroom. And when I got right beside them, dude, I'd give them 200 pounds of fucking pile driver and snap their neck for the sake of my kids and family.
That is not a bad idea.
Right? Use your skills. You're an actor.
I feel
you're
like.
You're a big dude. You can fucking
you
snap
a neck.
You
just wrote a movie.
Yeah.
You just where.
Well, now I'm going back to the Edward Norton movie. There's a movie Edward Norton did with Marlon Brando in his later years. It's a great movie. It's about these guys that work at this storage facility that holds invaluable. De Niro's in it, too. I think it's called The Heist or something.
Oh, yeah.
And Edward Norton gets a job there as the mentally challenged janitor. And so he has keys and he infiltrates this whole building and he knows the timing and the alarm codes and everything. And for the whole movie, he starts the movie as this. He goes, hello, good morning, Mr. Smith. I'm going to clean up in the basement now.
Yeah.
You know, this is him. I'm not making fun of mentally challenged people. And so you see this and at the end of the movie, the last quarter of the movie, you realize the whole mentally challenged thing was an act.
Yeah.
And he was collecting all the information of the and then he robs the place because he's got the keys, the codes, and they all fell for it that he was mentally challenged.
Wow.
But see, whenever someone's mentally challenged, it throws people off. So the terrorists would probably go, they'd either like go, you know, this kid's annoying, let's shoot him right now.
Yeah, what if they did that?
They could do that, or they could just be, this guy's an idiot, like, let him go. You know what I mean? And so you could get right up close to them, and then, you know, we're both big grown men. Just in that moment, you just grab them and snap their neck, man.
I bet you that's something that they teach at the CIA that we don't even know about.
Yeah.
Like, they're like, okay, today's lesson is character work.
Yeah.
And we're going to work on characters to defuse
situations. We're going to use mental characters to defuse terrorists.
Yeah,
they probably do. But here's what bothers me. You're a father with three kids, and you don't have a plan.
I don't.
I want you to have a plan.
Well, my kids have never been on an airplane.
No, I mean you. They don't have to be there. But if they were there, or even a movie theater, you know, in today's world, man, you don't know where it's coming
from. Now you got me thinking of through characters of like, what would that character work? Are there other characters that would work? That would really work.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying, dude, as a father, look, it happens more and more every year. You know,
hijackings?
Hijackings, movie theaters.
I know.
Like, that's becoming, it used to be every 10 years we'd have one of these.
Yeah.
Then it was every 5 years.
Yeah.
Now it's almost every week. Churches, movie theaters,
I mean,
malls.
Seriously? Like, that's, I do think about that.
Yeah.
I do, like,
you
if
think
I'm.
Think about it, but you got to have a plan.
If I'm in a restaurant or a movie theater with my kids, I always look where I would go. Like, where are
good.
The exits?
I'm glad
where
to
you,
hear that.
It's a weird thing to, you know.
It's very weird, but that's the world we live in. I think
I know,
about how could I utilize my belt? In
oh
my
gosh.
Pants? What could I do with my belt? I think about snapping the tray table off in the airplane. Could I use that to throw it as something to distract them? And while they're deflecting it, you dive on them. You know what I mean? Like, you got to think about
this
stuff,
I want to see you
bro.
In a movie where you're like
mental air marshal to your town.
I just want a comedy version of you being like a Liam Neeson character in Taken, but you know how when things slow down for those characters and they like zone in on it and they see the water bottle and then they like there's a pencil but then you try it and it's horribly like terrible but then it still works.
Yeah, I zone in on a squirrel and want to play with it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then, like, and you're like, you eye up different things, except you just end up peeing on his shoes, and that works.
That works, yeah.
Trademark. Call my agent. Line it up.
All right. Well, I want you to think about it.
Now I have all these different.
You
know,
next time you're on a plane, I want you to sit down and just go, okay, what's my exit strategy here? What's my plan of attack? Because I hate seeing these stories. So many people are victims. You know, people crouch on the floor, and I get it. They're scared. Yeah. They're terrified. But I think we live in a world now where people have to start thinking, okay, what's my proactive defense to this idiot that just wants to end my life?
That's terrifying.
It's terrifying, but that's where we are now, man.
And you don't want to think about it all the time.
You don't want to, but it could save your life.
But you should have a
plan. And it could bring daddy home to the kids.
Yeah, that's, you know, I was going to say it's a whole other story when you have kids.
That's what I mean.
I mean, if my kids were present during an emergency like that.
Oh, my God. You'd be like a mad grizzly
bear,
right?
Yeah, I would. I absolutely would. Yeah.
Yeah.
I absolutely would. I know. I would. I think about that because it's a terrible thing that happens, like you said, all the time. And you just, you know, you're like, what if somebody came in here and, like, started with a gun in a restaurant or a movie theater, and I would...
Dude, it sucks. I walked down the street to Waffle House for breakfast this morning, all right? I saw you. I passed you in the parking lot. Mm-hmm. I walked down, and I was sitting there, and I was like, oh, yeah, about 5 months ago, some kid walked into a Waffle House and shot, like, 8 people.
Yep.
And so now I've got the steam of a waffle going up in my face. The butter's melting, and I'm looking around strategically like G.I. Joe going, okay, what's with that guy? Where's the exit door? Blah, blah. Like, this is the stuff we have to deal with
now. Yeah, you can't enjoy your steaming hot buttery waffles.
You can enjoy it, but you've got to be ready at any second to, like, get up and motor, bro.
But do you think it's a thing where, like, maybe, like, we shouldn't live in that fear too much, you know?
We shouldn't. We shouldn't have to live in it at all, but we have to. How many innocent freaking people do you know, those kids last year from that school just up there crying and, oh, my God, dude. So anyways, I'm just looking out for you, bro. And everyone else listening, like, you know, have a plan, man.
Yeah, that's you don't think about that often, but, you know.
Because I figure if I got that weird one about acting, like, mentally challenged, like, other people have to have clever ones, too.
Yeah, you're right.
And again, I'm not trying to make fun of mentally challenged people. It's actually a means to an end for survival.
No, that's like deep CIA. I think you're thinking deep.
I'm thinking deep, bro.
You are.
But speaking of Liam Neeson and movies, you're a movie guy. Aaron's a movie guy.
You love movies.
You know a lot of movie trivia.
I try to remember.
So I'm going to ask you some movie questions, categories, because this will be fun. What is your favorite all-time sexiest movie scene? Like I'm not talking porn. I'm not talking what you do at night in your room on your laptop. I'm talking like legit movies. What would be one of the scenes that sticks in your mind and go, wow, that was like, when I saw that, it was like really sexy. It just like, you know what I mean?
I can only think of like weird ones, or I mean, like, or as a perverted teenager, you know?
It doesn't have to be like sexy, like boom. I mean, it could just be sexy like 9 1/2 weeks when Kim Basinger rubs a strawberry across her lips.
I mean,
like,
that's
and that can't be it. You got to come up with your own. But I'm saying it could be classy sexy. It doesn't have to be like vile or anything. But is
I honestly was the first sex scene in a movie that like. And growing up, you see all these, you know, all these sex scenes, and I watch all these rated R movies.
Yeah.
The one that, like, this is so ridiculous. The one that made me crazy was the movie Wild Things.
Okay, yeah, with Matt Dillon.
Matt Dillon, yeah. Denise Richards, and Nev Campbell. They have a threesome.
Right, in the swimming pool, aren't they?
Yeah, and I'm like, in high school, and I'm like, oh, my God. This is because usually movie sex, you know, you're just seeing Mel Gibson, hump Rian Russo, and Lethal Weapon 3.
Yuck.
Or, you know, it's you know, a Jean-Claude Van Damme sex scene with, you know, in Hard Target with Arquette, what's her name? The Arquette sister.
Yeah, some girl's riding Rosanna that Arquette. Big bump on his forehead. Yeah. his lump. Yeah.
Can I rub on that lump?
can I rub my little clitty on that big lump on your forehead, that clitty bump?
I am Jean-Claude Van Damme. You can absolutely.
So what was the scene? Were they actually like in bed having a threesome in the shadowy light?
There's one in the swimming pool when they're kissing.
Yeah.
And then it's just, I don't know, maybe because I was just a horny teenager. I was just like, oh my God.
That's sexy.
And, you know, I was so obsessed with Denise Richards.
She's
from
so sexy.
Starship Troopers.
Oh,
you
yeah.
know?
Oh. Well, some women look sexy. Some women can make themselves look sexy.
Some women talk sexy.
Some women talk, and some women just exude sexuality. And Denise Richards to me was one of those girls. It just
gorgeous.
It just comes out of them.
Yeah.
Angelina Jolie to me is a little bit like that. They don't have to try. They don't have to put it on. They just their very presence. They kind of exude an invisible wave of sexuality.
There's even the guys that even do that.
Oh, yeah, there's men that do that, too.
Oh, yeah. Bradley Cooper walks on the screen and hello, good night.
Oh, really? I find Brad Pitt's like that. Yeah.
Oh, he does, yeah.
But let's stick with women, can we, please?
I'm just
awkward.
Trying to spread the love.
Yeah,
You don't think when young Zac Efron
okay.
or...
Okay, can we just keep it with the girls? They're Brokeback Mountain.
Or Dave Franco. He's a sexy boy on the scene now.
All right.
I'm staring into your eyes.
I
Let's
know
talk
you
about
are.
Dave Franco.
It's really Brokeback awkward. That was one of the sexiest scenes in film for you?
I mean, it's not a great movie, but it's just obviously left that
good.
Mark.
That's what I
mark and stain in my life.
Yeah. Oh, that stain, that horrible crunchy stain.
Crunch.
But do you remember a movie called Body Heat?
Yes.
So there's a scene where the main actor, who's the main actor?
Who's that, Tom Berenger?
No. He's a great actor. Oh, God. I can't believe I'm blanking on
William Hurt.
William Hurt.
And Kathleen Turner.
Kathleen Turner
sure.
when she was hot. And no disrespect, but if you see Kathleen Turner now, oh, my God. I'm not even trying to be a douche. She looks like an old homeless woman. Like. It's really rough. Like
yeah, she's a little nuts now.
She looks really rough, whereas she used to be like the epitome of a sex symbol.
Yeah, just a regal, beautiful businesswoman.
Oh, just so seductive. And she exuded that sexuality we were talking about. And so there's a scene where they're having this wild, passionate affair, and it builds up through the movie, very sexual. And she's cheating on her husband, and she's driving him nuts on purpose. Mm-hmm. She's manipulating him. And partway through, about three-quarters of the way through the movie, she cuts him off.
Yeah.
And it's a hot, steamy, like, southern night, you know, down in Louisiana or in the bayou or something. And he just can't take it. He's like smelling a wolf in heat, you know what I mean?
Yes.
And so he drives through the night all the way to her mansion with the Spanish moss hanging off the trees.
Yeah,
and the crickets are chirping and the wind chimes are blowing. And he just runs up to the front door and she's standing on the other side of the door and he smashes the door down and she just almost has an orgasm when he kicks the door in and it's like it's so
this
like
is
intense.
Sexy radio right now. You're describing it.
Yeah, well.
And the Spanish moss hanging off the trees.
Spanish moss. By the way, when Sharon Stone did that scene when she uncrossed Spanish moss. No, she was shaved. all right, next genre, scariest scene in a movie. Because I know you like damn horror movies, boy.
I love horror movies.
What's like one of the scariest scenes you remember that you just went, whoa?
So not just because I'm from Pittsburgh, but I'm obsessed with zombies.
Oh yeah.
And the scariest scenes ever came, the first one ever came from, I was horrified. My uncle showed me the video for Thriller. And yeah, I know. Hold on.
I'm not like the other boys.
Yeah.
Yeah. Horrifying. Nah.
No, what was scary is at the end when what's her name? Ella May or the girl who played the girl.
Yeah.
I think that was her name.
Yeah, Ella May.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. I really do.
Ella May Walton. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it was. No, the scariest part is when she gets stuck in that abandoned house.
Yeah, and the
and
the
they're punching
through the walls.
And he kicks down the door. And that was like being trapped.
Yeah.
In that room.
What's wrong?
And, yeah. And then he turns and looks at the camera. And he has the
yellow
wolf,
eyes.
The wolf eyes.
Yeah. That was pretty intense.
But then one of my favorite, you know, I went on to just love zombie movies, and the Night of the Living Dead, George Romero's Night of the Living Dead, filmed in Pittsburgh in Evan City.
Yeah, yeah.
Where my aunt's haunted house is, by the way.
Oh, I wonder if the bearded guy was in that movie.
Maybe. I know, right?
Yeah.
But like the same thing is like when it breaks down and you're stuck in this house and all these zombies are punching through the doors and windows, that's horrifying.
That's your, yeah.
That's horrifying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you feel helpless.
Yeah, that's
And it's
scary.
These monsters, you know?
And it's slow. Like they're slowly coming in. They're first the window, then the plywood, then the door, then they're just slowly getting closer.
Yeah, which is why like I also loved, you know, my like Night of the Living Dead and John Carpenter's Halloween.
Oh, yeah.
Those are the ones that slow, like, you know, John Carpenter's music.
Oh, yeah.
And like the slow movement of Michael Myers. Like, remember when he peeks out of the bush at Jamie Lee Curtis?
Oh, yeah. And he's standing by the clothesline and the sheets are flapping. And then you look back and he's gone.
Horrifying.
Yeah, that's an art.
That feeling of trapped.
Yeah. And that's an art that's missing in horror movies nowadays.
Like 100%
agree. People used to know how to just delegate it slowly.
Yeah.
And just let it drip, drip, drip. And now it's just like everything's just boom, boom, boom. What I've through the wall, stab,
that's
drag.
That's why I think that Halloween is the best horror movie of all time, because John Carpenter made you afraid with the camera.
Yeah.
It wasn't even Michael Myers almost. It was the way he placed him.
Yeah.
And like, you know, you just see him pop out from across the street and just walk through a backyard. You're like, oh, he's coming. Like,
I'm afraid death has come to your tiny town, Sheriff. Donald Pleasance.
Dude,
oh my God.
Okay. Harlan says that during his stand up, and me and five people laugh every time. And I'm 100% with it.
Yeah.
That you should do it forever.
I love it.
Because if people get it, it's
so fun.
Wonderful.
To say it. By the way, I just went to see the original Halloween this year. They played it at the movie theater in Hollywood. So I saw it when I was a kid, the original Halloween, when it came out. When I was like a little teenager, I went to the theater and saw it like the weekend it came out.
I get jealous of stuff like that.
Horrifying.
That people could go see that kind of stuff in the theater, and I was too young.
It was scary. But then I went to see it again just like 3 months ago, just before Halloween.
Yeah.
And a little bit sad, but people were laughing in parts of it because it's so, there's such dated references in some of it, but. But it's still a spooky, creepy movie.
I love it.
You know?
I love
it. Yeah.
Like, you know, the other things, though, that are even faster, like, I mean, the end of Texas Chainsaw Massacre, when he's just
the first,
like,
the original?
Yeah.
When
he's
just
chasing,
creepy.
Chasing that girl, like, you're just like, oh my God. That, like, you want him to get away so bad.
That movie was just so creepy.
Gosh.
Very real feeling.
You know who does a really good job that I'm a fan of now is James Wan. James Wan did Insidious 1 and 2. He did The Conjuring.
Okay.
And, like, I think he does a really great job at using the camera to scare you and have things in the background and, like, little, you know.
Yeah.
He'll sit a camera, and you know when it's a little off angle.
Yeah.
Like, it's not balanced with the room.
Yeah,
you know something in that doorway.
Yeah.
That's the kind of stuff John Carpenter did, and James Wan does that pretty
well.
Yeah,
there's still, I'm not saying they're all bad, but the like I noticed, I was watching in the old Halloween, there was a scene where the girls, like, walk out of school, they walk out onto the sidewalk, they walk down their street, they cut, walk down another street, cut, walk down, like, they follow them walking from school all the way home, just talking.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's such a long, drawn-out scene, but you're like, you know, because I'm walking and they're talking and I'm going all the way home with them, I feel like I'm there with them.
Yeah.
It's not just like, leave schoolroom and then smash cut to their house.
And isn't
you know?
It cool in that scene, because a couple times it comes out that Michael Myers is following
them. Yeah, you see the car go by in
the
background.
Car.
Yeah, and it's out of focus, and it's like,
That's something that I have not even thought of, where that whole thing of them walking home.
Yeah.
You have that feeling that they're being watched the whole time.
Oh, yeah.
And you're with them.
It's really cool.
You're like walking with them and looking over your shoulder like, there's something going on
it's
here.
It's kind of masterful. Ooh, and then at one point, Jamie Lee Curtis looks over and sees him standing on out from behind a hedge.
Yes.
And she looks back and he's gone. That's, I always liked how he's gone. Okay, good, good stuff. how about this? Couple more. Favorite jaw-dropping scene. Was there ever a scene where you just went, whoa, like, are you kidding me?
I can't, we can't, listen, when I bring up this movie, I don't want to spoil it because if people haven't seen it,
yeah,
you can't spoil it.
Is it new?
No.
Oh.
Have you ever seen the movie Sleepaway Camp?
No. Oh. Is it real?
Yes.
Never heard of it in my life.
If you haven't seen Sleepaway Camp.
What?
It's a horror movie.
How old?
It's like late 70s, early 80s.
What? I've never heard of
this. Don't look it up.
Okay.
Don't let anybody tell you what happens.
What's so jaw-dropping about it?
The ending.
But what was it that made you just... You have to tell. Nobody's going to watch
you.
It.
It's you a have 70s to.
All right, well, it's only going to be spoiled for the people that, you know, are listening to this.
So, the movie is this, like, it's about this young girl who went through the summer camp. This little girl, this very shy young girl, goes to summer camp with her cousin.
Yeah.
And, you know, after they get there... you know,
Friday the 13th,
people start dying. Yeah. People start dying. And this cousin, you find out that like her whole family died. So she basically takes her cousin to camp with her. And you find out at the end.
Yeah.
It's a huge reveal.
Okay, good.
That.
Let's be bastards.
And I don't know if people were offended by this nowadays. I don't know. You find out the whole time it was a boy posing as a girl murdering people.
Oh, okay.
It's a dude.
Right.
Dressed up like a girl, acting like a girl. And at the end, you see him naked with a knife. And it's a dude with a dick. And it still looks like a girl. Like, you're like, what? Like, you're, and then you think back through the whole movie about how he was being a creepy dude. And you're like, oh my gosh.
I'm wondering I might have seen this.
People
now,
that see it, that's why I never tell them because I'm like, just watch it. It's a good campy horror movie, slasher movie.
Stay Away Camp?
What's it? Sleepaway Camp.
Sleepaway Camp.
And then at the end, you get that reveal and it's just, whoa. I can picture it.
It's almost like the horror version of The Crying Game.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's, I don't know if, you know, because now you could say that, like, well, that's, you know, you don't want to make fun of, you know, transgendered people or anything, but.
Why not?
It's just, it's a crazy twist that, you know, it has nothing to do with, you know, it's just the crazy person.
Yeah.
It's like a psycho thing, a crazy person, you
know.
Well,
a movie in the 70s was pre all the transgender flap.
Right.
So, okay,
but
that's a good one.
That's, whoo boy.
All right, last one before we wrap it up.
I love it.
Stupidest scene in a movie. Like, you just watched it and you're like, what the, are you kidding me?
Oh,
that
man.
That can't be. Why would you even shoot that?
Oh, that's a tough one.
That one's tough because a lot of movies have stupid
scenes. Yeah, there's so many stupid scenes. I will tell you right now, the silliest, stupidest movie, it's another obscure one.
Yeah.
You're going to have to look it up.
Yeah.
But I'll also tell you the silliest scene that I've seen that I laughed the hardest.
Yeah.
So terrible stupid.
Yeah. Terrible, not funny stupid, like a scene we just like, why is this in this damn movie?
See, that's hard. And there are a lot of those like that.
Yeah, there's a lot.
There's a lot. Like, yeah. I've seen a lot of movies where I'm just like, why is this happening?
Yeah, like the last Raiders of the Lost Ark, Harrison Ford in the refrigerator where the nuclear bomb goes off.
That's
the,
a good one.
The alien skull at the end that meant nothing.
No, like, you're absolutely right. My friends and I, we always talk about director Chris Preksta, and him and I always go about the crystal skull, about the refrigerator and the gopher. And we were like, what the hell?
Yeah.
What did you do this for? This is like a Jar Jar Binks moment, you know?
Oh, there's one right there. Jar Jar Binks.
Like,
probably
I know.
The more
you think about it, you're like, you think of those movies, you're like, why did you put that in there?
Yeah.
Well, this makes no sense.
Yeah, but you don't have a fave, like one
not,
that
not
just,
that
like,
I can think of that annoyed me the shit out of me.
Yeah.
I will say that, but the worst movie I've ever seen that is so funny that you just like, I can't believe someone wrote this and put this on film. You have to see the movie. Look it up. It's probably on YouTube. It's called Insane in the Brain.
Yeah.
And it's a, like a blaxploitation urban, you know, kind of in the vein of Tales from the Hood.
Oh, shit.
Horror movie.
Yeah.
About zombies that want brain. Okay?
Yeah.
And if you don't know rap language, brain is another word for oral pleasure.
Oh, shit.
So these zombies are looking for brain.
Oh, God.
And when they get a victim, they jam their
heads.
They jam their zombie dicks into people's mouth and suck out their brains. And the first time I saw it, I was like, and they were like, brain. And they're like,
what?
And they're like,
oh my
and you're just
God.
Like, what the hell is happening? And the whole movie's like, don't let them get your brain.
Oh my God.
It's like, what?
Oh my God.
It is. It's one of those guilty pleasures that you just. It's insane in the brain.
Insane
I'm telling
in the membrane.
You, it's
beautiful.
One of the
Wow. All right, last question before we wrap it up. If you could meet like your a dream actor, dead or alive, doesn't have to be someone living today, but if you could like sit down and have a lunch, with like any great actor, who would that person be? Actor, not actress. That's the next question.
I don't get an options. I have to pick one.
Yeah, one. You only get one.
I have three people that I would want to sit down.
You only get one.
And eat with. Oh my gosh.
You only get one. You got it. You got a 2-hour lunch with, has to be an actor.
This is really tough.
Not a singer, not a an actor. Who would you want to sit down with and just be in their presence, ask them anything?
You know, I'd want to say you want someone that's like you'd want to talk to, like, what would you want to talk to them about, right? So would it be like a comedic actor that I would want to be like, tell me?
I don't know.
Or I don't know. See, these are the factors.
Or maybe you just want to be in their presence. You know what I mean? It doesn't, like, who is
honestly,
someone that you're so.
I feel like that I could learn something off of or just, you know, just enjoy. Just, this is so tough, man.
Yeah.
Because out of my top three is
one. It's got to be that one.
All right, just because it would be a blast, I think I would go to lunch with Bill Murray.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Yeah,
just
that's a good one.
I don't think he would. I just it would be a good time.
Yeah.
I think it would really would.
Yeah.
My honorable mentions are Steve Martin.
Yeah.
And Arnold.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah. Arnold Schwarzenegger. Yeah.
Okay, those are all good.
But I'd go with Bill Murray just because it'd be a blast.
I would have loved to have sat down with Marlon Brando.
Oh, that's
who
a good
I consider
one.
Probably one of the best
know
actors
Harland.
Of all time. Actress. Who would be the top actress you would want to sit down with?
This is tough.
Yeah.
Because it's like, is it somebody super funny, a great actress, like
it's up to you.
That's really tough.
Like who would enchant you the most? Who would you learn from the most? Who do you admire the most? You're just like, man, I just wanna.
I honestly think that I would. This sounds, you know, oh man, this is tough.
Yeah.
This is really tough.
Mine used to be Meryl Streep. I think I still would,
one.
But all her political bullshit lately has turned me off. Like, I don't like actors that try to tell the rest of us how to think and be. And so she's turned me off a lot. But
we talk about that a lot. I mean, because.
But just her acting ability. Like, you know, I just am so impressed by more older stuff than what she does now, to be honest. But she just, like. To me, her performance in Out of Africa is such a strong.
Yes.
Like, just a,
you know, Out of Africa is one of my favorite soundtracks of all time.
It's great. That
incredible.
Whole movie's great.
It's so good.
Yeah.
This is a good film podcast.
Yeah.
I would say, this is tough. Like, who do I want to hang out with for 2 hours?
Yeah.
Oh, man. You know, the first person that came to mind was Gilda.
Gilda
Radner.
Okay. Yeah. That's fair.
Because of how much. And if you read, like. Gene Wilder's book.
Yeah, what did he say?
Oh, gosh. I mean, the whole last third of the book is talking about Gilda, being married to Gilda. And, and you know, him, when you hear people talk about, and there's a program on now that, you know, that's Love Gilda. And just hearing how much of a fun, bright person, personality, I would just love to have that lunch.
Oh, wow.
Just knowing that's how great. Amazing of a person she was and funny. Just someone you just laugh with for hours. Yeah. Like you.
Yeah, of course, man. But that's interesting because Bill Murray is kind of such a funny, inherently funny guy too, you know?
Yeah, I think because I'm just looking for somebody who's professionally just been a silly person.
Yeah,
and also a fun person.
Good choice.
And they dated. That's weird.
Oh, wow.
They dated a long time ago, I think.
Yeah. Well, you're a funny person, and we had fun sitting here today for an hour almost, right?
Ghosts.
Great. Ghosts. Mentally challenged airline passengers.
Zombies.
Zombies. Uncles peeing all over you.
Yeah. Wait.
Wait. Up in the haunted barn.
Yeah, the haunted barn, and uncle peed on me.
Yeah. We don't have to rehash it all. They heard it.
We don't have to bring it up again.
But will you give the folks a little heads up on where they can find out more about you, your social media, anything you want to plug that's
it's
coming
up? It's as simple
up?
as you could go to growndadbusiness.com. That's
all right.
It. My podcast, my kids' book. You can. It's coming out later this year. Podcast, comedy stuff.
Yeah.
It's all growndadbusiness.com.
That's where they can find everything. If they want to pick up your album and buy it, if they want to find out where you're playing.
Yep.
Great.
It's all there.
That's where it is, man. Well, Aaron, thank you for being on the Harland Highway. What a treat.
Thank you.
And what do you say we go get some waffles over at the Waffle Hut? You got your Glock on you, bro?
Yeah, and I have my freaking waffle card.
Let's go, bro.
10th one free.
10-4, breaker 9.